Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And our opening song today is another one, a modern song from 2022. But since we were saying the Apostles' Creed today, this song is the words right out of the Creed. And for me, I think it's a beautiful song, but when we were singing and practicing this, I just realized I was really feeling in my heart that I kept singing, I believe, and yeah, I was singing what I believe, and it was a very powerful moment for me. So I think sometimes when we say the Lord's Prayer or read the creeds, you know, we kind of read them and we don't really let the words sink in. So so I hope that you find this song as meaningful as we did when we learned it. But so when we say the creed after we've sung it, yeah, hopefully the words are more powerful to us. Anyway, it's the Apostles' Creed.
Good Sunday morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone out here this morning. Welcome to worship. We'll have an ad board meeting immediately after church. Are there any other announcements to make this morning? Be you got with you today? Who?
Barry.
Barry, okay. Glad Barry's with us. With his shades on. Anything else? Happy birthday.
29 again.
Good. Again.
Her birthday, Pastor.
Yep. She can't sing her own birthday song. No. That isn't right.
Happy birthday to me.
That's right. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And just one other thing, we will be at Morrow Manor this afternoon from 2 to 4, is it? 2 to 3:30.
4 by the time you're done with your encores. And your standing O's.
Yeah.
You gotta leave time for them to call you back.
That's right. Bring them back.
Hope is free. Use it all you want.
Please join me in prayer for invocation. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful morning you have given us. We are very thankful for having this time together. Have your word for us today come through Pastor David to help us in these times. Our country needs a healing. We need to stop these senseless killings, whether it be Irina, Charlie, the children in schools, or the kid in the Chicago streets. Help us, Lord, to fight this evil. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The call to worship after we just sang it is the Apostles' Creed. 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone this morning?
Good.
We come to this church and we pray and we worship the Lord, whether it be at church or at home or whatever. And we're all trying to head the same direction, as far as I'm concerned, to be up there with the Lord in heaven. This song is I Won't Have to Worry Anymore, and I think that's very appropriate. Once we're there, we don't have to worry anymore. Down here my burden's heavy, the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary and so sore. But a brighter day is coming, should I step on heaven's shore. And I won't have to worry anymore.
I won't have to worry when I reach that other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be a pool, and I won't have to worry anymore. What a great day that'll be. I think we can all imagine that. We won't have to worry anymore. Life is over, I've said my last goodbye. I'm gonna see my Savior standing at that door. Then I'll hear him say, you're welcome, and all your cares are left behind. And I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach that other shore, and my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be a glow, and I won't have to worry anymore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be a glow, and I won't have to worry anymore. God bless Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
That's a great song.
That's a great song.
And now, it is time for our doxology.
Praise God from whom our blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all of our days. We thank you for the blessings that you've given each one of us in our talents, in our fortunes, in our families, in our friends, in our communities. God, we just ask that you accept this small token back in our tithes and our offerings back to you for your purpose, for your kingdom, and for your glory. As always, we ask that you multiply these funds, that you keep us ever mindful as to the proper use, the timing, the purpose, that your kingdom will grow in our community. We thank you, and we ask you. We ask all of this in your precious and holy name. Amen.
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 After that song, which I have to say, one of Charlie Kirk's quotes, let's fill up heaven. Concerns and prayers. I understand, Tom, is that correct?
Yep.
That's what I understand.
Yep, she came home yesterday.
Is that right, Pat?
In case you're wondering, fine, she's just, the clan has the crud running through it, so she wasn't feeling well this morning, so she thought she'd stay home and keep it away from everybody.
She probably needs a break from you.
You got that right.
Emma said I'd meet.
You know, she was with him yesterday, but
All day. Yeah, and then we had to go down to my parents. So that was too much for her. She had to take time out.
We had a wonderful trip and wedding down. We were blessed with wonderful weather. It was all hot during the day when my girls were down there sweating and setting the whole venue up on the beach. But by the time we got down there, there was a nice ocean breeze, and it was just wonderful and beautiful. They were so happy and blessed.
Yeah, it looked beautiful. The pictures were lovely.
And then, I guess, we weren't here Sunday, but I think you all know that she passed away last Sunday, so we'll have to pray for her family. And then, somebody else? Our cousin, she's in the hospital. She's in the hospital, not doing well. She'd had surgery, so now she's in the hospital, not doing well at all. So we need to pray for her.
She was diagnosed with breast cancer with her previous surgery. So,
okay.
But this is due to her intestines and vomiting or something, so she's not doing well. She was on.
Update on yeah. About the prescription for him Thursday. Took it to him. He looked pretty good. He yeah. invited to come to church today, and then yesterday he crawled in his truck.
Oh,
when he drove a little bit, he was paying for it today.
He didn't.
Oh, yeah, he did. But he wants to be on himself on our net board meeting here today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and yesterday at the Heritage Days, the Masons, you know, they always honor someone and give them plaque. Mm-hmm. And it was for all the community service he did.
Oh, that's cool.
It was,
that's
cool. I mean, he wasn't there, but
yeah. He deserves it. He deserves it.
I have a praise. We turned 92.
Yeah.
We didn't have a big party or anything. It was just her and I, but I made her a chocolate cake.
She
was happy, and I'm blessed to have had her another year.
She looked so cute in that picture.
Oh, wow. Facebook, yeah.
That was so cool.
I asked her how old she was, how old she was going to be, and she said 102.
He got a 12-hour nosebleed, but the reason I sent him was because there was his bowel. And I was concerned. You don't know.
Yeah.
But everything turned out well. And I do have a praise because I could. Something happened at Mount Vernon. He wanted to go to Mount Vernon, and something happened at Mount Vernon, and I haven't seen it in a long time. Is this young lady who was, we call it there, they come in and clean up patients and things like that, blood all over his face, down the front of him, you know, everything. And she got so concerned and upset about, you know, she come in and she says, oh, she said, I'm going to clean you up. You know, and I haven't seen that in a long time.
Oh,
I mean, she really was concerned, you know, so get your hope.
Yeah.
Sure.
You
yes,
know, get
yes.
your hope.
Was he still in the hospital now?
Oh, no, he's home.
Okay, good. I failed to get with him this week.
Okay, that's all right.
But last week, you know how he's always, you know, wonderful.
Yeah, I know.
And I know. Great. His last text to me was, this ain't no picnic.
So, I believe that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, last couple weeks ago, I mentioned something that, you know, planting seeds, and the writer of that art, that section of our student Sunday school said, you planted seeds and they died. And I said, no, they don't. You plant live seed, it does not. It awakens. And after this week, I think we're getting an awakening for things that we need to work on and pray for change, and change in people's hearts.
Amen.
And I think that's more of a good analogy than something. dying and being put to the ground. I think it's awakening is what's happening.
Yeah, I spoke with yesterday about that. And, the recent events in this country will awaken the young people, and I think they are.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, a loving and confused people. As we stand down here with our brothers and our sisters and seeing the suffering and the pain, we don't understand. We don't understand why good people are taken so young, so early, so violently. We don't understand why our friends and our neighbors leave us sometimes in pain. We don't understand why the world is like it is. But what we really don't want to look at is the face of evil. We know that there's an enemy who's real, who hates us, who hates you, who was one of your angels and wanted everything for himself, and he fell, and he has spent the rest of his time harassing, instigating, killing your people. Those who you have created in your image, in your likeness, in your purpose. God, unfortunately, I believe that it is time for us to look the devil in the eye and say, enough is enough. For each one of us to stand up against the evil that we encounter on a daily basis and pray and stand in the gap and love. Because God, we have one of two choices. We can either be on your side, or by default, if we're not on your side, we are automatically on his side. He's lied to a society. He has lied to generations. He has lied that you don't exist, that you are not relevant in our world these days. Yes, we now have prominent newscasters celebrating the death of a young man. I don't care anybody's political sidings, but the death of anybody is horrific. God, be with us as we face this evil. Be with us and give us your strength. God, we praise the great opportunities and events. We are thankful for the wedding, the travel that was safe, the excitement, cool breeze from the ocean that you timed ever so perfectly. May that be an event in those two lives that they never, ever forget. Standing there with friends and family being joined together as you have instructed us. I pray that their life be long, be meaningful, purposeful, and filled with you. God, we thank you that it is doing better. If he could just get out of his own way, he might be able to heal a little bit quicker.
Amen.
What a great servant. What a great friend.
Amen.
What a pleasure it's been to get to know him. We just ask that you continue to heal his. Allow him to return back to us quickly as well. And we lift up, we just pray that you continue to be with them as well. Speak comfort. Let them know that they are always in our thoughts and our prayers. We thank you for all of those birthdays, all those times of celebration, of years passing. May next year be even more fruitful than the previous. God, we lift up, as she is now past and is with you, give her family your peace and your comfort, the memories of a life well spent, even though there may have been some struggles, a life with purpose and with glory. We ask that you're with as she continues down her medical path. God, as always, in these instances and in these opportunities, we ask that if it's your will, we would love to see miracles of healing. But if it's not your will, because that is what is primary in our lives, your will, not ours, give her your peace and your comfort as well. We thank you that the trip to the hospital was short-lived and that he's home now. But we just ask that you bless that PCA, that young lady who saw a need, who took care of a situation out of love and respect. We need more of those people in our hospitals, God. We just ask that you give her peace and let her know that it was meaningful. We thank you for the Heritage Day celebration yesterday, the number of people that were around Chesterville. As we spoke to a gentleman in the back of the church who was bemoaning the conditions of life, struggling with the evil, one thing that he was encouraged about is he was convinced that Chesterville is soon going to explode, to grow, to become stronger and more powerful, to be more loving, to be more inclusive of one another, to become a town where love is felt, where love is demonstrated, where love is lived. And God, as we recite the Lord's Prayer, let us do so, listening to all the words, feeling what you would have us feel as we recite this short, meaningful prayer that you taught us when you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And our prayer hymn may be a little unusual, but we thought very fitting for this past week or two and today is God Bless America. And as this very short song says, we really need God to stand beside us and guide us through the spiritual night we're living currently into the light that comes from God from above. So. Please join me.
God bless America, my home, sweet home.
God
May God bless him.
Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from one of Paul's letters, the letter to the Philippians, which was written from prison, verses 1 through 11. Paul starts out with Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, tell all the saints of Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
C.S. Lewis remarks on this scripture, I think it is wrong to pray for people while they are in distress and then not continue praying.
Amen.
Now with thanksgiving when they are relieved. Many people think their prayers are never answered because it is the answered ones that we forget.
David, I forgot to mention, but I would like to have a special prayer for every Wednesday. We've been waiting for a year and it's finally happen.
Finally here. Yeah, let's do that now.
Dear Heavenly Father, this has been such a long road. A long hope. We know that you are all things. Finally, you, God, you trust that Wednesday will be the day. And though she doesn't look forward to the day in and of itself, but the results that possibly will come to her. We just ask that you keep her calm, that you keep her focused on the past of pain, that she knows that this is needed. Always we ask the medical staff to be wise, to be competent, to be excellent. Forgive them. To procedure, her care, we ask that you are with what she has and cares for her after the surgery. And as always, God, I pray. Process.
of my favorite passages has always been, and no more important than these days, that section of Philippians. Being confident of this. Being confident of this. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. The Christ that has started his process in our lives promises us that he will finish it. And as I've spent my week, as all of you have, confused, the senselessness of Charlie Kirk's murder, but the city of Chicago has 15 to 20 shootings and 8 to 10 murders every single week. Life has just seemed to be careening out of control. And so what God wants for this morning is for us to remind ourselves of Ecclesiastes 3. And yes, when I read this, we will all have the 1960s song in our heads. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 says, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and yes, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. Time for war and a time for peace." Those last ones are bothersome. A time to hate, a time for war. Those are issues and attributes of this passage that I wish we could have cut away. But what God is telling us is that our lives are ordered, no matter how out of control they may seem. God has a purpose for each one of us. A purpose for those who are going into their triple digit ages, and a time for those, and a purpose for those who were taken way too soon. So today we turn to the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, a book that wrestles with the mysteries of life, its joys, its sorrows, and the rhythm that ties it all together. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 is a poetic reminder that life is not a random series of events, but a tapestry woven by God's hand, with every thread having its purpose and season. These verses invite us to reflect on God's timing, to trust in his sovereignty, and to find peace in the ebbs and flows of life's seasons. We tend to be a people of order. We like things to make sense. We like A to follow B and C to follow B. See, I just messed that up. See, my parents, when I was down there last night, if you were here with us last Sunday. If not, take a listen to the message from last week. I had a bit of a stumbling start last week. Chris said to me after the service, "Hey, we can cut that out if you like." And I said, "Nah, let's just leave it in. My parents will get a chuckle out of it." So we were down watching the football game last night and doing some meal prep for them. Tammy, myself, and my sister and her husband. First thing, as soon as I got into the house, Mom said, "We laughed." So B follows A and C follows B. There we go.
There you go.
But what we have to remember is that it's not up to us. I'm a man of control. I like to do things. I don't like to give control away. I like to be able to make sure that if I mess up, I do it of my own accord, not that I have to suffer because of something somebody else did. So I would love to be able to, and I joked ever since I was in seminary and Tammy and I were struggling with infertility and me not understanding what's going on, and I just wished, and there was a part of me that I know that this is pie in the sky, but there's a bigger part of me that really wishes that if I said it out loud, that God would say, "You know, that's probably a pretty good idea." I wish we could just get a letter every once in a while from heaven that says, "Look, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. Hang on. I know it doesn't seem to make sense, but I got this." And I guess we do have that letter in a sense. It's called Scripture. As we see in Ecclesiastes, there's a time. There's a time that we don't control. There's a time that we can't say when it's going to be. Summer comes when summer comes, and there's nothing we can do to stop it or start it. The snow falls when the snow falls, and there's nothing we can do to stop it or start it. The seasons have their timing, and the elements and the activities of our lives have their own timing. Why are young people dying so early? I don't have an answer for that. Some of those are directly because of evil and sin of a young man who points a rifle and takes a shot. But as I shared with you last week, those of you who know Dan Osborne and Martha Osborne, their 30-year-old son is laying in the ICU from a stroke in the brainstem. What? That just happened. Nobody pushed, nobody shoved, nobody shot, nobody. It's just the frailty of life that we have to come to grips with. It's not pleasant. It's not easy. But all of these things work together for the purposes of God in our lives. First thing we see in this Ecclesiastes passage is the rhythm of God's design. The opening words say, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." And it sets a stage for a profound truth. God has ordained a purpose for every movement. The preacher, as the writer of Ecclesiastes is called, lists opposites, birth and death, planting and uprooting, weeping and laughing, to show that life is full of contrasts. Yet these contrasts are not chaotic. They are part of God's intentional design. And I think that's what I'm struggling with the most. Everything feels so chaotic. Nothing seems to make sense. But if we go back into the book of Ecclesiastes, if we take the time to look, we don't have the ability to judge what God is doing. So the best that we can do is pray for whatever degree of understanding he may enlighten us with. And hope that as we move from one season to the next, we do so doing what God would have us do. Being the person that God would have us be. Because there's no other alternative for us. That's the purpose of a life sold out to Christ. To be that person in good times and in bad. To speak truth to those who need to hear about his love and compassion. Think about the seasons of nature. Spring brings new growth and summer ripens it. Autumn harvests and winter rests. Each season has its role and none lasts forever. So it is with our lives. There are times of joy and times of sorrow, times to build and times to tear down. The question is, do you trust that God is working in every season, even when we can't see the full picture? The second thing, and maybe the most difficult, is embracing the seasons of our lives. If we take a look at some of these pairs, a time to weep and a time to laugh, we've all known moments of deep sorrow, perhaps the loss of a loved one or a personal struggle that we've gone through. Yet God has also given us moments of laughter, like the joy of a wedding or the birth of a child. Both are necessary, and both are under God's care. To cling only to the laughter and avoid weeping is to deny the fullness of life. Likewise, to dwell on the sorrow is to miss the joy of God's provisions. Or consider it's time to be silent and a time to speak. This may be personally my most difficult one to adhere to. David, shh. There are moments when words are needed, when we must speak truth, offer comfort, or share the gospel. But there are also times when silence is the better choice, when listening or reflecting honors God more than us speaking. Wisdom lies in discerning the right time for each. Oftentimes when people suffer loss, we don't know what to say. Oftentimes it's best just to be quiet and just to be there. Well, I'm not a good orator. I don't know what to say in those times. That's great. Because you may have a ability to personally comfort somebody just by your presence. I know of those people, and you know of those people, that you just feel good when they're around. These seasons remind us that life is not meant to be static. God moves us through different places to shape us, to teach us, to draw us closer to him. The challenge is to embrace each season, trusting that God is present in both the planting and the uprooting. I'm not a big fan of the heat of summer, but what I am a fan of is a fresh, homegrown tomato. Can't get the tomato without the heat of the summer. So even when we're in the middle of the season that maybe we're struggling with, we should look for the things that God is giving us. The love, the companionship of one another that helps us get through the struggles of each of the seasons. And lastly, God's sovereignty over time. What holds these seasons together is God's sovereignty. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, just a few verses later, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. This is the hope of our hearts. That God doesn't just allow these seasons. He makes them beautiful. Even the times of mourning or tearing down have purposes in his plan. They refine us. They teach us dependence upon him. They prepare us for the seasons of building and dancing that are to come. We know that as the crops die and the farmers take them off the field, that the death lays there for a moment, and then it all gets tilled back into the ground. The field is prepared and ready for the next year's plantings, for life to sprout again. As Ben said, live seeds placed in will sprout and produce its good fruit. And just as death or sorrow or pain enters our season of life, it will be used for a greater purpose. It will be tilled under in our hearts that God may plant another crop of goodness, of life in and through us as well. The thing we have to remember is this is all in God's timing. We have to practice patience. The world tells us to rush through it, to force the solutions, to avoid discomfort. But God's word teaches us to wait on him. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." And the last thing we have to remember is that delay is not denial. Just because the prayer isn't answered today doesn't mean that it's no. As I've shared with our children, I prayed fervently to be a dad. I was convinced it was never going to happen. And then I get to look back over life and see God smile. You thought zero. How about four? So God is full of surprises. God is full of waits, but they are not always no's. Imagine a young child who is told, "Not yet," but reacts with anger and frustration because they can't grasp that not yet doesn't mean never. They don't understand that sometimes a delay is necessary. God's timing is just like that. We often feel impatient in God's waiting room, experience anxiety, frustration, and discouragement when things don't happen on our schedule. We must remember that delay is not denial. While we are waiting, God is working, preparing us, and refining our character for his perfect plan. Timing is always right, and he brings things to fulfillment in his time and not ours. There is a man who got the opportunity to speak with God, and he says, "God, what is a million years to you?" And God said, "A million years is but a second." The guy continues and he says, "God, what is $1 million to you?" God says, $1 million is but a penny. Being wise, the man says, "God, can I have a penny?" And God replied, "In just a second." God's timing is his timing. Our frustration in the different seasons is a time for us to be patient and wait for God's fulfillment in our lives. I don't understand why good young people die. I don't understand why mean young people die. They're not given the opportunity to hear the message of Christ and change their ways. But each of these seasons is meant for a purpose. The seasons of spring, summer, winter, and fall all have a purpose. And so do all of the seasons that we enter in and out of as we continue to worship Jesus. Be with him and care for him. And pray for those who are on your hearts and your minds. That's the purpose of each of our seasons, is to become more like Christ and less like us. Will you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each season of our life, even as it seems chaotic. Even as it seems like we fly from one season to the next, not understanding the problems and the concerns that we run into. The death of our friends and our family, the struggles that they suffer at the hands of evil. And some, God, just because life is frail. These bodies are not perfect. They're not meant for eternity. You promise you will take these bodies from us and give us new heavenly bodies that are perfect, are glorious, and will last for eternity. So, God, as we have to struggle in these bodies, as we have to struggle the problems and the procedures that we have to endure because of sin and the fact that these bodies give out, we ask that we remind ourselves of how much you love us, how much you are in control, how everything has a time and everything has a season, and we are called to wait. And remind us that wait doesn't always mean no. Wait means it's not time yet. We're not ready yet. You've not been able to complete your perfect plan in and through us yet. Be with us today. Be with us tomorrow, and be with us through each and every season that we enter into. And instead of looking at the chaos that is surrounding us, that's happening on a daily basis in our communities and in our world, we ask that you fix our eyes on you. For you are the only thing that is sure and right and perfect and will never forget us, never fail us, never let us down. Again, we lift up all of those who are out. We ask that you heal them, that you give them your strength and your comfort. Let them know how much we miss them. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory, 577 in your hymn books. And those are two qualities of God that, we need to keep in mind. God of Grace and God of Glory. And even though we sang this just a number of weeks ago, I thought it would be really appropriate to sing it again. The words are very powerful. And I like the ending of each of the phrases. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore. And particularly in light of the recent goings on, the last verse is also very powerful. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore, and let the search for thy salvation be our glory evermore. Thank you.
Now let us go forth in the peace of knowing that God holds every season of our lives in his hands. May you walk in his wisdom, trust in his timing, and rest in his love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.